Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, hour number two, Tiki and Tierney company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home, much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Monday around the country, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What an awesome weekend. CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206, radio.com, on Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. By the way, on our show Twitter account, the poll question, and it's an interesting one, because I think this year is shaping up to be a pretty special NFL season. So, short and sweet, how would you rate the NFL season thus far? Four choices: lame, decent, strong, epic. And I'm right between decent. I'm right between strong and epic. I mean, this season's been phenomenal.
I don't know if epic is there yet, but when you have guys or teams like what Lamar Jackson is doing with the Baltimore Ravens, seemingly taking over, right, the new evolution of football that we've always talked about, it feels like it's happening. Real.
Sure.
It's like it's real with them.
Yeah.
And the Rams falling. I think it's
the Niners renaissance. It's always good to have the Niners good. It's better for the brand of the NFL.
It's interesting because the Patriots only lost one game, but it's easy to take them off of the tip of your tongue because of all the how well the other teams are playing.
That's fair. That's probably not wise to do.
In
the lab.
Of course not.
Looks like Mr. Kraft is trying to coerce Mr. Gronk to come back and finish out the season.
That's right.
Which will be incredible. We will see Josh Gordon tonight for Seattle, the 49ers and Seattle. That's going to be a lot of fun. But let's get to this in the extension from last night's Vikings win. Listen, this was a huge win. Mm-hmm. This was a huge win for a multitude of reasons. But first and foremost, and we've been telling you this on the show for a while, the NFC, really going back well over a month, the NFC East, one big division. No wild cards coming out of that. It's going to be Dallas winning the division or Philly. And by extension, you're going to have a really good team. Certainly with 10 wins, not out of the realm, as crazy as this sounds, 11 wins that could get shut out of a wild card. Because you look at all these high volume, like win totals of all these teams in the NFC, monster win for the Vikings last night.
Yeah, they had to win this game on the road to just legitimize what we already have seen. It's hard to play down in Dallas, especially because Zeke can control the game. And we know Dak is evolving, and he had a fantastic day as a passer. Almost 400 yards and three touchdowns. The interception's insignificant because it was the last play of the game.
Up the Hail Mary.
Exactly. Yep. So he did what he needed to do. It was just Minnesota flipped the script, in a sense, and took this away from the Cowboys by controlling the principles that you need to control on the road. Time possession. Running the football, and turnovers. And so when you look at this Minnesota win, this one probably is the most impressive of all on the streak that they've been on. Yes, we know that Kirk Cousins had to turn around the narrative about himself after that early, I don't know, it was a slide where we felt like, dude, they waste money on him. He brought himself back out of this, but it's the continued evolution of Dalvin Cook and this defense, which gets after you, that's made this Vikings team so viable now. At 6-3, they feel like they can, on any day, because of that, beat anybody.
Yeah.
And especially if you go on a road and beat a really good Dallas Cowboys
team. And they're due without Thielen, who's still hurt.
I know.
So, you know, there was some early controversy with Diggs. We thought he was going to get traded. And, you know, you and I really pretty much eviscerated Kirk Cousins for what seemed to be a very weak, very feeble, almost like Trubisky, which I think was a little misunderstood and grossly overstated. And by the way, because it's not really a Bears day, obviously, but let's give Trubisky at least a second of props here.
Yeah.
He shut down the narrative. Not saying he played through three touchdowns. He didn't play great, but he made plays, and he did the one thing that you can do, the only thing you could do to silence detractors: perform.
True.
I'm happy for the kid.
He was playing against a Detroit Lions team without Matt Stafford.
Stafford's not a linebacker.
Yep, Jeff Driscoll ended up taking getting the start. He was okay. He was very average. He wasn't nearly Matt Stafford. And I didn't realize. I mean, I knew he was hurt, Matt Stafford. I didn't realize it was keep him out of the game hurt.
He's got that transverse bone like Derek Carr had, like Tony Romo had. That's how Dak Prescott started playing. All right, so back to the Dallas and the Philly angle by extension of the Vikings win. Dallas is 5-4. The Eagles are 5-4. And what you have to remember now, Dallas feasted on bad teams early.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I was looking at the schedules, and again, it's still a little early to do this, but at least it's deep enough in the season to get a sense of what remains for both teams. I don't think it's reckless to do this now, middle of November.
No, of course not.
All right. So Dallas has 3 home games, 4 away. All right. Eagles have 4 home games, 3 away. So they have the advantage there. The Eagles, while they were playing some better teams early and getting knocked around a little bit, mm-hmm. they weren't fully healthy, and we were saying, oh, maybe this team's not that good. You know, Dallas was skinning the cat, pretty bad teams here. So the Eagles now have to play Miami. Dallas already played them.
Yep.
The Eagles have to play the Giants twice.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas already played them. So I look at the schedule, Dallas at Detroit, at the Pats, the Bills, at the Bears, the Rams, at Philly in the penultimate week, and the Redskins. So, you know, you want to try to get a sense of who's going to be standing if everything's even health-wise. I mean, I'm saying Philly. I picked Philly to win this division during the summer when we made our predictions, and I feel even better about it right now. I think that I don't know if they're – I know that they're not a lot better than Dallas, but I think they're beginning to peak a little bit, get healthy, and they've got an easier schedule.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, there's 2 games that you put on there that in your mind you say that's a W for Dallas Cowboys. All the other ones they could potentially lose.
Mm-hmm.
They could also win all these games, but the challenge becomes – you know, pushing through what's going to be some adversity for this Dallas Cowboys team. Let's not forget, man, we keep talking about it, and we keep talking around it. Like, what happens with this coaching staff and with Jason Garrett? And last night against the Vikings, they had every opportunity to win this football game. And that, with 2 minutes to go, they're in the plus side of the 50-yard line. They moving the ball at will. Dak Prescott's flinging it around like he's an all-pro quarterback. And they get down inside the tight red area, and they short-circuit.
Mm-hmm.
They keep trying to feed the ball to the one person offensively who had no success all day, which was Ezekiel Elliott.
Nope.
47 yards. I mean, very rarely you're going to see Ezekiel Elliott have 47 yards rushing and no room to run. Obviously, Minnesota had a game plan. Stop Zeke. Let Dak beat us. Dak was on the verge of beating them until the Cowboys decided to hand it off to Zeke twice and then try to flip it out to him on a 4th-and-4 with Howie Kendricks in coverage. Kendricks made a great play and ultimately it thwarted that drive. But this coaching staff made some bad decisions in critical moments for this Cowboys team, and they lose a home game that is critical for standing. So how much is on Jason Garrett? How much is on Kellen Moore, who maybe in that moment didn't think, let me get some misdirection here instead of doing what we always do with Zeke? Yeah, there's some question marks about this Cowboys squad that are percolating under the surface a lot.
Listen, you do what we do every day, 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week, all right? It's a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
So when I can just say, go find it on YouTube, I'm going to say it. Go find it on YouTube. You know where I stand on Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
I'm not going to waste my time again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for 4 years I've been saying he's not the guy, and I don't think he is. And Jerry Jones obviously weighed in and didn't go deep, just trying to assess what happened. Tough loss, but the owner wasn't too happy. Here's Jerry.
Was impressed with where we came back in there and got back to where we could win a ball game that was really kind of in doubt. So real disappointing for these guys, near disappointing for our coaches, but can't say enough about how well Zim had their team coached up.
You know, and just to point this back out here, go back to the Eagles because it's obviously intertwined with Dallas. They have a chance to finish up the season on a 5-game win streak at Miami, the Giants, at the Redskins. Dwayne Haskins named the starter the rest of the year, so hopefully he plays well. Wish the young man luck.
Yeah, for his sake, so they don't think about drafting another quarterback.
Exactly. True. Dallas, and then, that's obviously a tough game, but that's at home. And then the New York Giants. So, again, it's a little ridiculous to say that they're going to rip all 5 straight W's. Who knows what can happen? But certainly from a favorable point of view, handicap and the schedule, I just feel like Philly has found a way to plow through early turmoil and character and that residue, that steely demeanor, that external shield has been toughened up as a result.
Yeah,
and they're prepared to fight.
Because it happened early.
Win.
And they were lucky that it happened early.
Correct.
Because now they're ready to go during the critical stretch of the season. The other team, BT, we talked a lot about this Minnesota-Dallas game. The surprise of the afternoon was the Saints.
It's got to be the Saints-Falcons.
If you would have told me
what in the world happened there,
a 1-7 Falcons team was going to beat the Saints squad by three scores, I would have said you're smoking something.
Yep.
There's no chance that that's happening. I know Drew Brees is coming back from his second game. He was threw for just under 300 yards, but it felt like no impact. It was like everything that they did was non-impactful. And you give some credit, obviously, to this Falcons squad because they have a ballers over there who refuse to be denied, Julio Jones being one. But this is almost inexcusable for a Saints team that should be rolling, and now you have question marks about where their heads are. Now, look, they came out of a bye week. Actually, both these teams came out of the bye week this week, I believe. I think they were both off the week before. So the Saints come off a bye week. Maybe they're just feeling too good about themselves. Maybe they're saying, yeah, we got Drew back. He played great before the bye week. Now he's a week healthier in the bye week. We're going to be back to the Saints of old that have been a game away from the NFC, from the Super Bowl, actually, the last couple of years. It will be fine. You hate to see a team like the Saints who feel like they were, on this run of 3 years of a magical run get hit in the face. It's probably the best thing that happened to them because now they needed this to motivate them because the Falcons had zero business beating the Saints squad.
I don't know how they scored. Matt Ryan, by the way, had two picks, so they turned it over a few times. They scored fewer than 10 points, single digits at home. I'd love to know how maybe a couple of times early in his career. I'd love to know how many times Drew Brees threw it 45 times or more, threw it 45 yesterday, and still failed to exceed 300 yards total.
Yeah, or get a touchdown.
Or get his team in the end zone for sure. But you're right. A lot of the yards were hollow. That was a perplexing loss. And I'll tell you who it was a good day, and I tweeted this, just kind of bouncing around a little bit. It's been a hell of a week for the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills lost. Okay. Somehow the Browns won that game 9 times in a row at the goal line. They couldn't score a touch. The Browns are still miserable. I'm sorry, but the Bills aren't very good. And the Bills got very lucky because Josh Allen fumbled it when he was running it in near the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
And his offensive, I don't know if it was his tackle or his guard, somebody hopped on the football. They wound up scoring a touchdown next play. That very easily could have been a game wrecker right there. So, again, the Bills' offense is non-existent. They've beaten what was the number I said yesterday on Tops? 5-40. I mean, the teams they've beaten, like the Dolphins and the Jets and the Giants, I mean, some misery. The Redskins, bad teams. And the Raiders, though, because the Colts lost, the Raiders have already beaten the Colts. We mentioned that the other day. The Bills lost. Now here's what happens. You start to focus on one team for the wild card, and then, boom, here comes another team. And that other team that's starting to come out of nowhere, as we chronicled in the first hour, in the five-star with their defense, is the Steelers.
Right.
So I'm not saying that the Raiders will definitely get a wild card, but they have the Bengals next week, and then they have the Jets. So there's a chance to get a lot of wins. Raider Nation obviously playing for a lot as we get into the meat of the season here. All right, coming up. Baylor's still playing for a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see where Baylor goes. Their head coach, Matt Rhule, who has done a phenomenal... Listen, it's one thing to take over a team that hasn't had a lot of recent success. It's another thing to take over a team that nobody wants to go near because it's viewed as toxic, where people are running away from it. That was Baylor, and Matt Rhule still yet to lose this season. Superb job. Baylor's coach is next here on Tiki and Tierney. All righty. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. It's a jump around kind of a day because there's so many great stories. We have to parachute in, kind of jump out, parachute to something else, jump out, parachute to something else. And now it is time to parachute into... really, one of the great stories in college football. There's just no doubt about it. There's no other way to frame it. Matt Rhule's done a great job at Baylor. And we all know where the program was a couple of years back with the end of the Art Briles era. Obviously, that's a tough job. Not many people wanted that challenge. This man did, after taking on a challenge that not many people wanted at Temple. And he succeeded there as well. Bottom line is, this guy can flat out, straight up coach. The Baylor Bears are 9-0. Perfect. They're playing Oklahoma coming up this weekend. It's a primetime game Saturday night. And Coach Matt Rule is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Coach, how you doing today?
I'm great. I'm really happy to be on with you guys. Thank you.
Hey, awesome, good, man. Good to have you back again. Now, your tenure here has been really interesting. 1-11. I know that wasn't easy to endure. You turned it around pretty quickly to 7-6. Now you sit 9-0. If there's one thing you could point to, maybe whether it's coaching, whether it's recruiting, what has been the catalyst to get you where you are right now from where you started? Because as BT mentioned, this Baylor job, nobody wanted. It felt, as he said, toxic, and people just were shying away. You took on the challenge. What allowed you to get to this far, this quickly, really?
I think if you said it, you know, put it down to one thing, I think it would just be not to panic. You know, my first year as the head coach at Temple, we had a very similar start. We finished 2-10, and we were about 0-5, 0-6. And, you know, I'm a rookie head coach. I'm waiting every day to get fired. You know, like, I'm sitting there, you know, like, afraid to answer the phone. And my secretary came in, Dick Vermeil called me, and I barely knew Coach Vermeil. And he said, Matt, listen, when you go through years like this, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Don't change. Don't listen to anybody. Don't pay attention to the outside noise. Do what you think is right. Trust the people that got you there, and just keep doing it till it works. And, you know, we went through that year, and the same thing here at Baylor. You know, we didn't panic. We didn't, you know, fire a bunch of coaches. We didn't change everything. You know, I just kept telling the guys, hey, be patient. Don't panic. You know, we're getting beat up right now, but someday, you know, it'll be flipped. And so it's fun for me now to go out there with a bunch of juniors and seniors and watch them win close games, watch them be tough after all we went through.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you and P.J. Fleck are probably two of the greatest stories in college right now because of where your programs were and where you've taken them. And I think the failures of some of those early years are beneficial. Obviously, you've dealt with it before because you're a coach. You've been in it for a while. But for the kids, right, these 18, 19-year-old kids that are committed to or whatever circumstances brought them to Baylor, they're going through failure after failure after failure, and all of a sudden – they find success, and it's sustained success. Those lessons in failure have to be invaluable.
Yeah, you know, I remember our first year here. You know, I brought my whole staff from Temple, and you know, we reminded each other. It's not always me doing the reminding; it's guys reminding me too, saying, you know, we felt like at Temple when we were winning championships that we had done our best job in the 2-10 season. That's when we really taught the process of winning and what it took. So as we were going through 1-11, we just kept reminding each other, man, just keep teaching the players, keep holding ourselves accountable to do things right so that way when we win, it won't be a fluke. It'll be something that lasts forever. And so now as I sit here and those guys, as I said earlier, that were getting beat up, now as they're juniors and seniors, my message to them is so simple. It's, you know, you went through that and you thought it was the worst time in the world and you said, why am I going through this? And now look what it did for you. What you thought was adversity was really just, you know, the fire forging you, man, making you strong, making you tough, turning you into the man and the football player that you are today. So we'll have a bunch of guys get drafted this year, and they could have quit, they could have transferred, but instead they fought through it, and it made them into the players and men that they are today.
Yeah, I love it. We're talking to Matt Rule, who's doing a phenomenal job. No hyperbole, phenomenal job at Baylor. Matt, here's what I want to know. You grew up in the Northeast, all right? And, you know, my wife is from Dallas, and I'm a Northeast guy, obviously, myself. But I understand the uniqueness of trying to connect to the power players in the great state of Texas pertaining to football. How have you done that so quickly? Because, let's face it, you're an outsider until you're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that was really, at the end of the day, that was my number one concern coming here was, hey, you know, would I be accepted? Would our staff be accepted? And I think we did two things. Number one, we came in and we hired three Texas high school football coaches, great coaches, awesome men. And I think that sends a message to everyone in the state of Texas that we were here to do it the right way. And then those guys were then able to kind of, you know, vouch for us and say, hey, look, these guys are doing it right. But I think the one thing that's really cool and I think it's great about Texas football is, you know, the high school coaches, when we went to go recruit, the powers that be, even though they didn't know us, the thing they kept saying to me was, Coach, we'll always support Baylor because football is better in Texas when Baylor's good, and we'll always have your back. And I think it's that sort of solidarity around, you know, making sure that the universities and the colleges and high schools, that are doing football in Texas all have what they need. And I just kept saying to myself, you know what, I'm a guy, you know, I grew up in New York City and I lived in Pennsylvania. I'm maybe not from Texas, but, you know, I love coaching football and I love working with young people. And I said, you know what, that's what these high school coaches in Texas, they've given their lives to working with young people and coaching football. I said, you know what, I bet it works out, and it's worked out great so far.
Oh, there's no question. Matt, let me ask you this, because I find this very interesting. I believe that there's two very different skill sets that are applied for a rebuilding job and then sustaining the rebuilding efforts. Do you think, and easier is not the right word because it's all relative, it's certainly not easy, but is it easier, in quotes, to rebuild and start from scratch and get a representative product, or to rebuild it and then sustain it and then swim with the sharks on a yearly basis? What's tougher?
Well, I think rebuilding is really, really, really hard. Obviously, sustaining it, sustained excellence and competitive stamina, I mean, that's what makes you great. But I don't want to undermine, and not for me, but like whether you said P.J. Fleck or whoever, you know, I think because when you go to rebuild something, you know, everyone is focused on what's not working. And you have to do such a great job of every day selling not what's there, but what's going to be there in the future. And you have to hold people together. You have to hold the donors, the fans, the media, your athletic director. And so, you look and see a bunch of coaches right now getting fired after 1 or 2 years. You know, they probably were making progress. They were probably getting better. And that's why I think you have to be really careful when you go do a rebuild. You know, do they understand how far away they are? Do they understand what it's going to take? But then I think you have to do just such a good job of constantly selling. You can't come in and feel sorry for yourself. Like, we were going through 1-11, and you know what? I still had to have Monday Night Football on in my office every night, and I had to, you know, have Popeyes, and I had to have the players in. I had to be around them because they needed to hear my message, because every time they turned on Twitter, they heard something else.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think that's part of it. Now, as you said, though, if you want to be great, it's not just about doing it. Now you've got to maintain there and get better each and every year, and that's not easy to do as well.
Yeah, no, you're right. But you got to get better from this past week, which was a 3-overtime win against TCU, which took a lot of wherewithal and I'm sure a lot out of you, now into the week of Oklahoma, which is obviously humongous. Now, we know that the AP has come out, the coaches have come out, the college football playoff, you guys were 12 last week. How hard is it to keep focused when you know that this ranking is coming out, it's determining so much, yet you got Oklahoma around the corner? How do you keep the focus with you and your staff, more importantly, your kids, because there's some heightened awareness about this Baylor Bears program now?
You know, I think it's easier this week just because we're playing Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you turn the tape on and you see Jalen Hurts and you see CeeDee Lamb and
yeah.
You see all the great players. And that's my thing with the, you know, our players. Like, it's not 20 years ago where, you know, as a coach, you can just tell a kid think this way and they say yes, sir. I mean, kids, you know, they're bombarded with information. And so, you know, you can't say, hey, don't pay attention to this, don't pay attention to that. That doesn't work. What I think you have to do is you have to keep it real with guys and say, listen, this is where we are. Why are you ranked high? Well, because you found a way to each week go out and get a win. And how did you get a win? You prepared, and you went out and played with confidence, and then you made it happen. So let's just keep doing that. Let's keep finding ways to get wins, but, you know, get it back to football. And so I think when you play Oklahoma, it's just a little bit easier. Not the game, by no means,
yeah.
But just the focus this week, because they're such a great team. They're a top 10 team, and they've won it, you know, the last 2 years, the Big 12 championship game. Our guys have so much respect for them. So I expect our guys to be really focused, knowing that, you know what, if you play well, you have a chance to do something really special.
Yeah, I mean, as football fans, we're fired up for this game. This is going to be a lot of fun. That is Matt Rhule, the coach of Baylor. Big one coming up this weekend, of course. Matt and the Baylor Bears, 9-0, and Coach is with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Now, Coach, obviously every person in your position is thinking about what's this next step. And I know you were at Temple for 6 years? 6 years?
And then was it four?
I think, no, 6 years, and then you went to the Giants, right? Because you were there for a year as the assistant offensive line coach, and you go back to college as a head coach. Now you make the jump to Baylor. Like, the progression is kind of clear in our heads. As you think about your career, like, where is next for you after Baylor, should you not stay at Baylor?
You know, I think for me, when we made the move to come here, it was really hard for me to leave Temple because it was such a good job. We made the decision to come here, and you know, I'm a guy with a young family. I've got a 15-year-old, I've got a 6-year-old, I've got a 4-year-old, and so you know, we wanted to go somewhere where we felt like, hey, what would be a good place to raise our kids? What would be a good place to let them grow up? And we came to Baylor, and it's been nothing short of perfect in terms of, you know, there's a lot of hard work to do on the football field. But, you know, it's been really good for me, my wife, my kids. And so I think, you know, we're just trying to be happy with what we got. You know, we're just trying to be happy with the lifestyle that we have, the people that we're around, the way that we can raise our kids. And I think that this is a program that we can take to a really national level. Like, I don't think this is like a one-time deal that, you know, hey, we happen to be 9-0 this year. You know, we got some lucky breaks. I think that, you know, we're just getting started, and we have a chance over the next couple of years to continue to recruit, to continue, because I think now recruits are saying, well, I can go to Baylor, and they're going to do big things. And I think that we can be a national power year in and year out. So I'm excited about that, and I have a chance to, you know, live a really good life in a really good place. So it's been really good for us. So I never know what the future holds, you know.
Yeah.
You know, in this profession of coaching, man, you start making plans, it has a way of evening out real quickly, and you get embarrassed. So,
sure.
But I think we're doing a good job so far, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to be back down on high school level after failing or something like that. But let me ask you a serious question. You just mentioned Baylor, you know, building into a nationally prominent program. It was that way under Art Briles. It obviously fell away. Is there any stigma? Do you feel it anymore at Baylor? Or has the success and, I guess, the reputation of you and your staff kind of washed it away a little bit?
You know, I think you know every time you talk about Baylor, that things are going to come up, and that's just natural, right? And so, you know, I learned early on not to let that affect me, not to let that bother me. I think my message to our players has always been this. You know, this is you know, those things, that stigma, that's someone else's story.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your story. That's not my story. I had nothing to do with that. You had nothing to do with that. Some of the things that happened that, you know, we're talking about happened when guys on our team were in junior high. And so, you know, we made a decision early on. Like, listen, when they talk about this and that, they're talking about someone else. They're not talking about you. Let's be positive. Let's be really proud of the things we're doing. I mean, we're doing amazing things in the classroom,
yep,
in the community.
Yeah, great school.
So let's focus on those things. But at the same time, I also understand that, like, that's part of why I took the job. Like, I don't get to come be sensitive. You know, I've had to answer a lot of tough questions. I've had to stand there and be a part of that and take that.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the job. It's one of the reasons why, you know, I took it, because I thought I was the right guy to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our players have been the right people to fix it. So we understand it. We just, you know, we feel pretty good about where we're at right now.
Yeah. I love it. And listen, by the way, listen, let me just say this here, Matt. The next time those dopey Jets, if they ever offer you a job and they try to tell you who you're going to hire as your assistant coaches, I'm coming down with some muscle and I'm saying this guy's hiring whoever the hell he wants, because we all wanted you to be a coach of the Jets, man. And those dopes in Florham Park said, no, you can't hire that. Listen, Matt, don't get me going. Don't even answer that. Honestly, don't even respond to that. Just keep doing a great job. And it was really good to have you back on the show, Coach. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys, man. Thank you so much.
Good luck, Coach. Appreciate you.
Coach Matt Rhule, Baylor, unscathed. Not, that's actually a true story. Jets wanted to hire him.
I remember this.
And then they said, no, you can't hire this, and this as your coaching staff. The Jets. That's what they did. Oh, God. All right. So
the Giants.
I'll tell you who we might be coaching next. I could see the Giants hiring him. He was already in the building, right? You know where I stand on Shermer. For some reason, you disagree a little bit with Shermer. That's fine. But listen, both teams were a mess. And, hey, listen, somebody had to win the game yesterday. Just happy it was me.
Somebody going to play defense in this game?
Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
You see what he did to your boy Daniel Jones? Oh, he just
it really
abused
wasn't,
him on that
it,
play.
It really wasn't what he did to Daniel Jones.
But just the whole sequence. Come on. You can't.
It's what he did to Saquon Barkley.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
Twice.
That's true.
Twice.
That's right. That is fair. He blew him up. He absolutely blew him up. All right. We have the update now from Ack coming up after that. A little inbounds, out of bounds. Let's see what's on the menu today. A little something on the Bills and Browns. A little something on Illinois. A little love for Lovey. The Celtics. A little something on Memphis's situation, which has kind of been glossed over. Wow. Penny Hardaway's situation. It hit as we were getting off the air on Friday. There were a few turns over the weekend. We'll give you answers coming up after Rack's update right now. Here's Rich.
All right. Good stuff. Tiki and Tierney, time now for doing more. Before we get to inbounds, out of bounds here, Matt Rhule, that is a guy that you want coaching your team, no doubt.
All right. Doing more brought to you by the Home Depot. Visit HomeDepot.com for details on flooring, appliances, and bathroom home improvements. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. As we suspected after being left outside of the top four last Tuesday of the college football playoff rankings, Clemson was a bit ornery and they made a statement against the Wolfpack on Saturday. They covered easily the 32.5-point spread as they drilled them, as Tiki said they would. 55-10, Trevor Lawrence, pretty good. 20 out of 27 for 276, three touchdowns, no picks. Five straight games, Trevor Lawrence and company have topped the 45-point mark. So we'll see where they shake out tomorrow. Obviously, Minnesota's going to take a big jump. And there's going to be a lot of fun. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. If you missed anything, so if you're a big Big 12 fan or just a college football fan and you heard the chat with Matt Rhule, covered everything, and maybe you want to send it to a buddy or direct somebody to it, very simple. Just go to radio.com, the app, or iTunes, radio.com, CBSSportsRadio.com. Just download, subscribe today, wherever podcasts are. Just click and always keep up with Tiki and Tierney. Never miss anything. Ready for Inbounds, Out of Bounds?
Let's hit it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, the Buffalo Bills. Let's go, Buffalo. Started the season 5-1, but we kept trying to tell you, little misleading here. And now they lost 2 out of 3, including a 19-16 loss in Cleveland yesterday. Now Buffalo currently sits 5th in the AFC at 6-3, but the Colts, Raiders, and Steelers all just a game back at 5-4. Luckily for the Bills, however, they still have games left against the Dolphins and the Jets and the Broncos, so they will certainly be in a position to get 10 wins. Season far from over, but maybe you have to reconsider who they are. All right, they also have to play the Ravens, Pats, and the Steelers, so those easy ones possibly offset by the quote-unquote tough ones. In or out, the Bills will make the playoffs for the second time in 3 years.
I got to say out of bounds to this, BT, mainly because I look at the Steelers, who are playing unbelievable football right now on the defensive side, which is going to allow them to win some close games. Even if on paper you say they're not going to win that game, they'll win it defensively, kind of like with the Rams over this past weekend. And the other team that you have to look out for is the Raiders. Bengals, Jets, Chiefs, Titans, Jaguars, Chargers, Broncos. Let me break it down. They're 5 W's if you just look at it from a win-loss, what you think standpoint. The Raiders are going to get really good as well. Josh Jacobs is fantastic. And coming out of the backfield defensively, they're playing sound. They're not making many mistakes. Buffalo just isn't exciting right now offensively, and that puts them on the wrong side of this wild card situation.
I agree. This one's easy. It's out of bounds, and I've been hinting at this for a while. Again, this is not a death knell to their season, although it's certainly not necessarily a foreshadow of things to come, good things to come. It could be a foreshadow of things to come if they could go on a losing streak here, but I don't know that it's necessarily a foreshadow that their season is over. But you have to listen, you watch this team play weekly, and it's a struggle to score.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. Now Tiki hit on the Raiders. And by the way, would anybody rule out the Steelers at this point?
No.
I mean, are you kidding me? They're playing like they have the best defense in the NFL.
That's right.
I mean, they really are. So,
and the Titans, if they can run the ball, and Ryan Tannehill now looks amazing.
They have 5 wins. The Jaguars, they're in the mix as well. There's just a lot of teams jumbled up, and I do not believe, matter of fact, I strongly believe that the Bills will not make the playoffs. Easily out of bounds for me.
Are you in or are you out?
And I take no joy in saying that. I've been kind of rooting for them, even though I'm a Jets fan. I know Bills fans want it, and they deserve it, and McDermott's a good coach. They just don't have enough on offense, man. All right, yesterday, Illinois. That would have been Saturday. Illinois won their 4th straight and improved to 6-4 thanks to a 37-34 win over Michigan State. I told you this was going to happen in my 6-pack of picks. I was a little worried. They were down early, but here come the Fighting Illini. Now, the Spartans, however, they have lost 4 straight games and are now 4-5 on the season after starting out 4-1. Head coach Mark D'Antonio is just 24-23 the past 4 seasons. Ugh. And leading the program to the college football playoff back in 2015. D'Antonio has also been embroiled in the Michigan State abuse scandal, though AD Bill Beekman said firing D'Antonio, quote, is not even a discussion. Marcer head coach, there's no question about that, end quote. Very definitive position. In or out, it is time for Michigan State to move on from D'Antonio.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this. He's been too good for too long. He's going through a little bit of a tough spot right now. A lot of it is because of the perception around this team following some of those accusations. But this weekend is a huge one. They play Michigan. They find a way to win that game.
They're not going
to
win that game.
I agree, but I'm just saying, if they find a way, all this conversation goes away, because that's what matters in the Big Ten. more so really than a lot of other conferences. You got to win these rivalry games, and they're up in the air. I think there's still a little bit of leeway here with D'Antonio in Michigan, so I'm going to say out of bounds.
Okay, before I give him my answer very quickly, condolences to the entire Michigan State family for two reasons. Number one, Cassius Winston's brother was hit by a train over the weekend, which is unspeakably
horrific.
Circumstances
are a little bit cloudy, too, so
I know.
Just sad.
It's very sad. And Charles Rogers was their star receiver back in the early 2000s. I was actually working in Detroit when he was playing at Michigan State. Went to see him a few times in person, spoke to him a few times. Lions didn't work out in the NFL, but he passed away at the age of 38. So a rough weekend for the Spartans. Just wanted to get that out there. It's more important than this question.
Yep.
But my answer is inbounds. I do believe it's time for Michigan State to move on from Mark D'Antonio, and I'll tell you why. Their offense is woeful. I mean, their offense is woeful. And the direction of the college game is moving in a direction, seemingly that Coach D'Antonio is not very adept. And that's not his strength. He was a calling card defensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were at their apex, you know, winning three Big Ten titles over the years, which obviously is a great testament to his coaching, and I would hire him if I'm somebody else, I just feel like it's gotten a little stale, a little stagnant. I do think he's a good coach, but I would actually make a move if I'm Michigan State personally.
Yeah, remember Connor Cook?
He got offended
when people questioned his leadership ability.
Yeah, we had him on the show. He got annoyed.
It's a legitimate question.
Usually they get annoyed at me. He was biting your head off. I loved it.
Kid had a horrible completion percentage. That's alarming in college football.
I hear you.
Are you in or are you out?
NBA here, Teague. Celtics, the Boston Celtics now won their seventh straight game. They won 135-115 over the Spurs on Saturday. By the way, did you see the Lakers lost to the Raptors?
Mm-hmm.
Without Kyle Lowry.
Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, he's balling, man. We'll squeeze a little hoops later. Yeah. However, in the win, Boston lost to resurgent Gordon Hayward. He broke his hand. Mm-hmm. He's been playing pretty well. Obviously, a down year last season, trying to learn how to trust his body after a horrific injury on opening night, a couple of minutes in his first season in Boston. He was kind of turning back to the player that they envisioned that they acquired via free agency a couple of years back, averaging 19-7 boards so far. However, he is going to have surgery and is expected to miss around 6 weeks. That's a pretty decent chunk of the season. God, I wish I had hair like that. I don't know if I'd wear it exactly like that, but I just wish I had hair that would actually do that. Inbound or hair. Inbounds, out of bounds. The Celtics are a top five. It's a good question. Top five contender for the title right now.
I'm going to say inbounds only because of how well they've played and been coached under Brad Stevens. Now, we knew this was the case. Last year was a bit of an anomaly, and we got to chalk it up to Kyrie Irving. You have to at this point. So, yes.
By the way, the Nets aren't doing too well with Kyrie. They lost again last night.
Exactly.
The Nets gave up 135.
They're under 500 now.
I follow.
I'm going to say inbounds. I think it's going to be a surprise season, especially in the East this year, because the Raptors are better than I think people thought they were going to be. The 76ers are kind of, I don't know where they are.
They're fine. I think you're right. They're going to be terrific.
But still, the Celtics have lost one game. And they've won seven in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say inbounds.
I'm going to say inbounds as well, but I'm going to say inbounds for a little bit of a different reason. You know, when I look at questions like this, I play the odds. It's almost like a betting mechanism kicks into my brain. Because if I'm going to view that, if I'm going to or not going to, but in this instance, I am going to view them as a top five contender, I've got to look at how the conferences are stacked up.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the best teams in the NBA, in no order, but the Clippers, definitely the Lakers. Denver's really good. You like the Rockets more than me, but I'll throw them in there as well. The Utah Jazz.
Less and less every time I see them play, though.
Exactly. And the Utah Jazz, all right? So there's at least, and the Portland's not playing well, but Portland's still pretty tough. So there's at least five teams, maybe six in the West. There's three teams in the East. The Philadelphia 76ers, the Celtics. I can't put the Raptors there. I can't do that. Am I missing anybody from the East?
Bucks.
The Bucks. Absolutely. That's my bad. No doubt the Bucks. So I say five or six from the West, three-ish from the East. I'll take my chances with the numbers play on the East and say inbounds.
Yep.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
D-Cell, where'd you get that shirt from? I've never seen him bust that out.
Pull this out from the back of the closet. Another big win.
It's where it belongs. Put it back.
Bowl eligible.
Come on.
You are bowl eligible.
What's their record? 5-4?
6-4.
All right. Florida State won this week, didn't they?
They did.
Who did they beat? who the heck did Florida State beat? Somebody I thought they were going to lose to. Not a really good team, but I was a little surprised by that score. Who did Florida State lose to?
Oh, BC.
Yeah, it was BC.
I think that was
at BC, too.
Yeah, because BC's game. Got a couple good running backs.
That's right. All right, third hour coming up. All sorts of stuff to squeeze in. We'll get to the Memphis situation. That was in inbounds, out of bounds, but we couldn't get to it. NFL as well. Third hour, we're stacked. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.